This show is sponsored by the Crummy Cookie Dough Company, top-notch humans making top-notch edible cookie dough. Warning, listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to I Am Everything with your host, Shion Atown.
Welcome to the hottest thing since Reginald Fessenden. If you paid attention to history class, he's the inventor of radio. Yes, this is the hottest thing since the invention of the radio. And I'm your host, Shion Atown, on this ride, which is I'm Everything Ride. Are you ready to ride on this I'm Everything Ride? I want to thank you guys for coming aboard this train. I promise it will not crash. However, it might be a little bit bumpy. We'll see about that. Last week's episode was a jam. Last week's episode, it was crazy. We had Kenny Hotz from Kenny vs. Benny. And if you're Canadian and you don't live under a rock, you know who that man is. He's a legendary comedian. He's one of my five fathers, and if you listen to the episode, you'll know who my other four are. But you know, I normally put my podcast on Mixcloud, and that podcast reached number 7 in top comedy podcasts out of I think maybe 150. So I mean, who's counting, right? But I mean, number 7, you may as well just give me the crown right there. What can I tell you? Anyways, we have a cool guest from Australia. We're going down under. But before that, I want to thank Crummy Cookie Company for sponsoring the show. And I have some big news to deliver. But for right now, here's a little Brutus for ya.
Yeah.
Yes, 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 yes. And that was Brutus. And my bombshell is, thanks to Crummy Cookie Company, I'll be going on a lot longer. The show will be continuing further into the future. So you can't get rid of me yet. You can't get rid of me now. However, let's talk about right now. My guest for today, Rene Ruin.
Welcome to I'm Everything on CKMS 102.7. And we have a guest from Down Under. Who are you? What do you do? And I guess for people don't know what Down Under means, where are you from?
So I'm Rene Ruin. Down Under is, of course, Australia. And I guess the easiest way to explain what I do is I'm kind of, I guess, not sound dirty, but I'm kind of like a blogger on a basic level. Yeah, and then I also do a lot of stuff with writing, music, media, fashion, everything. So yeah, kind of a whole lot of things.
And we'll dive into all of those things. But originally, I want to say how I originally came about you was on Tumblr a long time ago. And by that, I mean I had my Tumblr, and I still have my Tumblr, I'm Everything, which is where the show name came from originally. But my Tumblr was imeverything.tumblr.com. I had it since 2009. I still have it. Of course, I went through transitions. But, I mean, I've been following, that's how I initially came about you, was through your Tumblr. And then it obviously went from your website and then Twitter and then Instagram. So that's kind of how I came about you. And, you know, it's been a while since then, of course.
Yeah.
How much of your content has changed in those, like, years, and even going from the Tumblr to the website?
Oh, a lot. A lot. I think, you know, when I first started, you know, and especially, you know, in the Tumblr days, it was sort of more about, you know, sharing cool things and that kind of stuff, you know.
Right.
And then it sort of became more of a, like, oh, you know, finding all these really amazing artists and, like, amazing designers and things that, you know, I had never seen before, you know, because it was kind of, I guess, that pre-moment before kind of Instagram and everywhere else sort of kicked off. So Tumblr was that kind of discovery stage, I think, for loads of people. And, so originally it was more about, like, saving, you know, saving things and whatnot, that for me, for my personal just use. And then it sort of, I guess, moved towards, like, finding these amazing things and sharing them with other people that I thought, you know, hey, this is great. Like, why don't other people know about this?
Right. Yeah. And so your blog you have now, do you call it a blog, or do you call it a website, or either or?
Either or. I'm not too bothered by the, you know, I guess the blogger title, but I guess it's really evolved from, I think, you know, its blogger kind of infancy to a real website now, in the sense that I guess it's, you know, it's more solid interviews with people and things like that. You know, we now have, like, a monthly radio, like, show that's, like, everything and music, etc., that I'm listening to. And then I also had merchandise and stuff that I created. Yeah, so it's kind of become a bit more than just something that's that simple, I guess.
Yeah. And your radio show, at least one of them, I don't know if this is the one you're referring to, but you have a radio show on Mixcloud, which I just stumbled upon it accidentally, because that's where I put these podcasts on, just because, you know, obviously, I'm sure you know, when you put music in a podcast, it's kind of hard to, like, put on Apple Music without getting, like,
of course.
Yeah, so I put it on Mixcloud, and I just happened to come across yours by accident. I thought the music is, like, music's pretty great, to be honest. Like, I would play some of that on my show, and maybe will.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, in terms of blogs, like, what type of blogs do you usually gravitate towards?
I would say I generally, I probably gravitate more towards, like, fashion design type blogs generally, more so than music blogs.
Yeah.
I guess, like, I mean, I read a lot of stuff in general, like media and magazines, etc., about music. But I guess I'm kind of, I don't like reading reviews that much. You know, so like I find some of the music blogs are just so geared towards either paid advertising or people reviewing things. So yeah. I don't really spend a lot of time on them, but I do spend quite a lot of time on film blogs. Like I'm a huge horror fan, so I do spend time looking at some of that stuff as well.
Is there any blogs that come to mind that you like just are obsessed with?
Well, in terms of, I mean, a good friend of mine that I've known for a very long time, but we, I think the first time we ever came across each other was probably Tumblr, is a blog called Dirty Floors. And I've been hugely into that blog and absolutely love Nikki who runs it. And so that's definitely been one that I've always followed.
Yeah.
It's just kind of dark aesthetics, clothing, and, you know, that kind of thing.
Right. And like, since you started your blog, have you gone through different transitions where you're like, oh, this works or this doesn't work? Or are you like, do you have an end goal in mind to be like, I want it to look like this, but right now it looks like that?
Yeah, a little bit. Like, I mean, I think, you know, when, like I said, when I started it, it was much kind of just geared towards, you know, like sharing things and almost like an online diary, I guess. And then I really wanted to turn it into something that mattered and something that, that was a bit more influential in the areas that I often cover.
Right.
You know, so that's where I started building more relationships with, you know, musicians and artists and, you know, people in fashion and you know, in kind of the cultural side and things like that, to try and use it to not only showcase amazing people and but like kind of build on it in a way that kind of makes it more than just some simple like reading site, you know?
Right, right. So you talk about these bands you come across and you play some pretty cool music on your radio show. What, I guess, like, how did you come upon this type of music that you like? Was it like, is it like, you know, because as we get older, we, there's different type of musics that we like gravitates more towards. Like for me, for the longest time, I liked metalcore, but now I like punk music, but specifically from the UK or Australia. Like, you know, they got to have that dialect. Like for you, how did, like, when have you always liked this kind of music that you put on your radio show?
Majority of it, yes. And then some it's, you know, evolved over time with like getting to know amazing, you know, artists and things. I've been fortunate where I've been able to, through, you know, through the site and radio and things like that, I've been able to make relationships with some of the artists. And, you know, when you do that, you kind of then sort of, I guess it's like a tumbleweed kind of effect, where then you find out about this band that they took on tour, or the collab they did with someone, and then you look at them, and then when you look at them, then you find out about this person and things like that. So I think I've definitely grown to like music that maybe if you had have asked me when I was like in my teenage years, I would have been like, there's no way in hell I would listen to that.
Right.
You know, so I think as you get move along, you kind of, you evolves a little bit differently.
And where did you get the name Renee Ruin from? Because I think that's a pretty cool name.
Yeah, well, it was a mixture of sort of two things that I was really into at the time. So I always had like that weird fascination with people who had just rad names that were, you know, like that became their kind of stage name. And there was a band called My Ruin. And they had a lyric in one of their songs that was something about nobody's going to ruin me if I'm going to ruin, it'll be my ruin type thing. Yeah. I really liked that sentiment. And then it was also kind of a piss take in a way of a song as well by Nine Inch Nails called
Ruin,
I really like. So it was kind of like a mixture of a couple of things that just all worked really well.
And how long have you had like that pseudonym for?
geez, it would be a really long time now. Yeah. I think would have been mid-2000s.
That's fascinating because, like, for myself, I remember I was in high school and my real last name starts with an A, and I was getting bullied on Facebook and all that. It helped me, it shaped me. But but then I was like, you know what? I didn't want them to find me on Facebook. And I just all of a sudden thought of, like, because at the time the Usher song, Yeah, came out, and it was like, A-Town, peace out, A-Town down. I don't even like Usher. And that, like, small part in that, like, A-Town down was just like, is like a small fraction of the song. I was like, A-Town, okay, because it's still SA, that's still my initials, right? So since then I've been like Cheyenne A-Town. And then it's always fascinating how, like, we get inspired by these names that we just catch on. Like, we're just, you know, like for you, you hear Rue and you're like, oh, that sounds interesting, right? And it's just weird how that stays with us, because, like, I just recently started using, like, I wouldn't even call it a pseudonym. I would just call it, like, a title. Is like Punk Father. And I just started using that, like, recently. And I'm not saying, like, I'm the father of all punk. I'm just saying I'm a punk father, right? And to a dog right now, but eventually a child. But I think it's just pretty cool how that sticks. And have you got, like, your name, like, is it, like, illegal or no? You just kind of keep it?
I just kind of keep it. Like, a lot of people have said, like, you know, you should make it legal. And I think the thing is that, like, I really like the anonymity of it as well. Like, if I had it made legal, then people could find me everywhere.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And true, I kind of like, yeah, like, I kind of like that that's me, but, you know, I don't know. I can't have people, like, searching me up everywhere, and, like, they know where I work, and they know, you know, it's not that I'm remotely different to who Renee Ruin is, because I'm not, you know, but it's more about that safety side of things, you know.
Right.
You do get, like, people who become obsessed and constantly, you know, follow, like, comment on things to a kind of crazy degree.
Yeah, and it's actually funny that you did that, because, like, when you think about it, and, you know, hopefully, I mean, for me anyway, hopefully I'm not working a 9-to-5 job, right? But you have these, when they search up your name, like, oh, like, your full name, they're never going to find the other content that you put out as Renee Ruin, because it's, like, a separate identity. And I think that's
correct. Smarter.
Yeah, true. So, you know, usually I like the guests pick out the songs for the episode. So which song would you like to start with today?
Probably someone who I really like and who I think is just a really amazing, strong woman. And her Twitter feed is just gold all the time. I'd probably say Zola Jesus and her song Soak.
And what about this song do you like?
It's really emotional, but also quite in its own kind of subtle, it's kind of synth pop, dark wave, has this kind of aggression to it that I think some people probably would never, you know, put with it.
Yeah.
And Nick is someone that, I just really admire.
Born with the scar far above my head. What I take, but it never feels enough.
All right, and we're back with Renee Ruin, and that was Zola Jesus. So since having a website or having a blog or even having a Tumblr, I'm sure you've gotten a lot of fans. I know your Instagram has a lot of followers. What great things have come out of having a blog as successful as yours?
Just probably the amazing friendships that I've made, whether it be with artists themselves or just people who are reading what I write. You know, I've made some incredible friendships across like the entire world, and you know, and then being able to actually you know, meet those people in person overseas and here has been pretty mind-blowing. And whenever, you know, people come over to Australia, they'll always reach out. And so, you know, I get like a lot of really great opportunities to meet and see particularly musicians play when they're here and stuff, which is, you know, such a huge part of my life and my loves.
Right. What's your favorite show you ever attended?
It would definitely have to be kind of maybe a three-way tie between Bruce Springsteen, Dolly Parton, and definitely Nine Inch Nails.
I never would have guessed two of those. That's crazy.
Bruce and Dolly?
Yeah, Bruce. Well, no, I was actually thinking Nine Inch Nails. No, I'm just...
Oh, really?
No, I'm just playing.
I know.
Yeah. So,
that's a shock. That's a good shock.
So, you know, you just mentioned two artists there.
I'll throw one more in there to throw you off track. Childish Gambino.
Hey, I mean, that would be a cool show to go see.
It was pretty incredible, and that's not my general genre.
Right. So you just mentioned a couple artists there from different genres. What would you say motivates you day to day? Would you say it's music? Would you say it's writing? What would you say it is?
Probably, I'd say music is more my fuel for everything.
Yeah.
Like that kind of informs my personality. It informs the things I like, the things I see, and definitely has some impact on my writing and how I write, I think. My style of writing is very lyrical, I guess, in the way it's composed.
Yeah. So you would say music would come before your art, kind of thing, like music inspires your art versus the other way around.
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah. How has COVID been to you as of late?
It's actually, I kind of hate saying it because I feel bad for the rest of the world, but Australia's in a really great place. So yeah, we basically, like, I mean, the state that I live in, we haven't had a case in like 3 months, like zero.
Yeah.
So for us, pretty much after Christmas, life was sort of went back to post-COVID, I guess, now. So it's kind of like now we're all back in offices and things like that. And just like, I think it was only 2 weeks ago that the mask rules now lifted, except for transport. Or so if you're in an Uber or you get on a train or whatever, you have to wear one. But aside from that, we no longer do. So,
do you think that's going to go away soon as well, eventually?
Eventually it will. We've been incredibly strict. I don't know how much people overseas have seen, but Australia and New Zealand have been incredibly strict with how we've handled the whole COVID thing. So, and it's because of that we've managed to get in the position we are now in.
Right.
So we kind of like every time some cases come, they freak out and then we close stuff again and make everyone wear masks again and things like that.
Yeah, and that's crazy because you guys did like a cold turkey, like everything closed down, I believe, right? Like it was like...
Yeah. It was literally like, it was like the most weirdest time, crazy like plot of a movie. It was like, we weren't allowed to go anywhere, like literally nowhere. Mm. And, you know, there was a point where the only place you could go was like the doctors or whatever, or the go to the grocery store. But like even the grocery store, like it was so bad that, you know, everyone just got everything delivered, you know.
Right.
So it became, and you weren't allowed to go any further than like outside of your area where you lived either. So, and yeah, it was sort of like you weren't allowed to have visitors. Like it was very, very strict. So it was kind of like everyone was just like, you know, yeah, it was, you had to hopefully like the people you lived with because you were going to be stuck with them for at least six months of never seeing anyone but them.
I mean, that's, I applaud that because like I wish that was happening here in Canada. It's not, unfortunately. You know, we have lockdowns. We've had 4 lockdowns already, but like it's not even a lockdown. There's a Walmart open, there's a this open, there's a that open. It's like,
yeah,
you know, the only difference is like they just close restaurant and small businesses down, which makes no sense. So it's like right now we're in a mandatory stay at home lockdown, which is the second one they've ever done, except there's like, it's like essential places are open, but they include like a McDonald's essential, like a coffee shop. And I was like, how is that essential? Like
essential.
Look at Australia. They did it properly. We just got to learn from you guys how you guys did it.
Yeah. Well, they basically, it was like any small, like any restaurant or like cafe or food place of any kind, including McDonald's and stuff. Like they were all not allowed to have any eat-in at all.
Yeah.
So it was just, they could all deliver, but no eating in. So yeah. And, you know, bars, everything like that was closed completely.
Right. And, and now you guys are good. You guys are, besides the mask thing, like on transportation, you guys are pretty.
Yeah, like we have like, you know, I think we've been slower getting the vaccine thing going, but that's because we've kind of, I mean, in you know, in the sphere of the world, we've kind of got our shit together in that sense. So we've kind of gone to the bottom of the line because we don't have as many, you know, people like, France and the USA and Canada and places like that need the vaccine like infinitely more than we do. So
so you guys just went back to normal without the vaccine then, right?
Correct. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. We gotta sit down and get some notes taken, and you know, hopefully North America can figure their shit out, because I don't know, man.
I feel like there's a, you know, I think the thing, the biggest thing is that, you know, vaccinations and stuff like, and even the mask thing, like it's all been incredibly political, like everywhere else. And I don't know, Australia, we're just really relaxed, chilled out people. And like, we're just like, I don't want to catch that. I don't want you to catch that. Put a mask on. Like we never really, you know, we had very, very small and rare like groups of people that were like, I don't want to wear it. And like try to have a, you know, protest, but that's like pretty much, very, you know, barely happened and did nothing. But everyone kind of just fell into line, like it wasn't like a big thing. So whereas, you know, watching how USA reacted, and you know, it was such a huge thing, and it was kind of mind-blowing to us because it was like, what, like they're not trying to control you, what why do these people think that it's death and life, you know, like hello.
It's so it's, yeah, it's entitlement really comes down to it. You know, these people, and I, there's a part of me that kind of understands in a way, because I mean, they look at the government, they say, oh, the government's out to get us, right? But it's only because the government's shutting down small businesses when they get a chance, but they keep up, like they keep open the big, you know, so that's like a kind of a red flag. But then on the other hand, it's like, the government's not really out to get us. It's just that they don't know what they're doing. Like they honestly don't know what they're doing. That's what I think.
Yeah. And when it comes to, you know, crazy things to do with medicine and things like that, it's, it makes everything a lot harder. And I guess we're just fortunate that we like have an incredibly minimal, if at all, that are anti-vaxxer kind of sentiment. So,
true.
Yeah, we didn't have much of a blowback when the rules came in. It was like, this is a real bummer. Like, compared to all the other states in Australia, like my state, we had the actual lockdown the longest.
Yeah.
So yeah, we really went through the shit in the sense that like we had to do it for so long and so strict.
Yeah. Sometimes it's good to be like in the middle of nowhere, like New Zealand and Australia, because they could just be like, yeah, no one's coming in. And no one's coming in. That's it. There's
yeah,
no argument.
Yeah. And, yeah. Well, yeah, and that's what we've done.
Yeah.
You know, we've basically been like, nope, you can't, no one's coming in, and pretty much no one's allowed to leave either. So yeah. They're kind of, they even like, I feel bad, I guess, for some of the Australians that are living elsewhere and things that have been trying to come back.
Right.
But, you know, it's we are the way we are now because we didn't just let everyone run in, you know?
Yeah. And so the clubs are and all that are open now as well?
Yes, they're open, but they're still not at full capacity.
Okay.
Yeah, so they're still cautious about that. So I think we're at like 75. Mm. So like for a huge concert, it's like 75%.
Yeah.
It's all based on your the size of the venue and, right. You know, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So that they can still have a reasonable amount of social distancing.
Mm. Yeah, I definitely got to come visit you guys whenever. I should just go live there, to be honest, because Canada, I don't know what's going on with Canada, but... You know, as you know, you spend a lot of time, I'm sure, harnessing your artistry, kind of figuring out like what to do in this, like when you were locked down, were you kind of like, you know, like, okay, now what to do? Like, how should I put my creativity out there because you can't leave the house?
Yeah, 100%. It became like and you know, I guess on top of the not being able to leave the house, like, you know, working in, you know, media and arts and things like that, with the music industry completely shut down, pretty much all of my friends and you know, myself included, didn't have full-time jobs anymore suddenly either. So, you know, it was like, what is going on? Everyone was like either not working or so that made it really difficult too, because you were trying to be creative, but you're also, everyone was going through this strange kind of, I guess, pseudo depressive stage and not knowing what where life's heading or what to do each day. And
yeah,
you know.
Yeah. And so was there like something that you lean towards more when you're locked down? Like, were you writing more? Were you
yeah, in the beginning, you know, I kind of was like, oh, this is great, because I was so busy, and I was like, oh, I'm gonna have, you know, this is gonna be great, I'm gonna relax, I'm gonna read all these books and do all these things, you know. But then, you know, then it kind of, nothing was happening, in the sense that lots of new things weren't happening because everything was halted. So it became like, oh, there's not really anything to talk about, you know, no one's at work. There's like, what are we doing? And so of course I like, you know, fell back on music.
Yeah.
And so that's what, you know, kind of pushed me to be like, okay, how can I do something that I love that incorporates music that also will give something back to other people during this time? And that's when I started doing these COVID IGTV interviews through the real thick of COVID.
Yeah. And yeah, I saw some of those. Those are pretty, like, the interviews were pretty good. Were you like, did you have to like write questions down, or were you just kind of going off the top of your head? Like, just, you know,
Majority of them I was lucky enough to be able to just go from off my head.
Yeah.
Cause I kind of, I'm one of those people that just looks into too much stuff, so I just have a wealth of knowledge that you know people say is useless, but often, you know,
right.
And I just have, you know, a couple of like little you know, three or four like specific questions that I'd written down for certain people that I was talking to. So yeah.
Did you like doing that?
Yeah, I actually really loved it. Really loved it, and it was so great to just be able to not only share it with everybody, but have kind of like a great kind of situation with the people that I was talking to as well. A lot of the artists that I spoke to, I've helped out a lot over the years, or I've met many times over the years and spent time on tour, and, you know, like quite a lot have become really great friends. So when I said that this was something I wanted to do, it was not hard at all for me to get people on board.
Yeah. And, you know, speaking of music, your second choice. What would you like it to be?
Ooh, this is going to be okay. I think that I will go with, they're a really, really awesome band that I always sort of knew about, but kind of got, you know, into more in the last like year and a half. A band called Brutus and their song War. They are on Sergeant House Records, which is a record company in America that I kind of feel a really strong affiliation with, and I'm friends with a lot of the artists on there. So yeah, and I just really love the band themselves are from Belgium, and the singer is also the drummer, and that's Stephanie, and she just blows my mind. Because if you watch one of their shows, it's hard enough to be just focusing on your drums, but to also be singing in the style that she sings is pretty incredible.
Came for help.
If you haven't already, you really need to check out the Crummy Cookie Dough Company. They're in Uptown Waterloo, but you can get their stuff on DoorDash, Skip the Dishes, Uber Eats, and through their website at the Crummy, that's C-R-U-M-B-Y, cookiedoughco.com. What are they? Well, it's funny you ask. They're raw cookie dough company. You could eat them raw or you could cook them, but it's always responsible ingredients you recognize and respect. Run by two powerful women that just love the feel of 1960s vintage and 90s hip hop is totally awesome. So cool. So go check them out. Wonderful women, and you'll love it just as much as I love it too.
And we're back with Renee Ruin, the ruin of all worlds. No. So I'm just going to throw some questions at you. We'll just kind of go by year. So let's talk about, you have a book, volume one, volume two, Wounds, I believe.
Yes. Yeah.
It's poetry.
Yeah, it is. Yes.
How did that come about? And what was the process of writing that like?
Well, I guess I've been writing poetry since I was actually like a little kid. So, and I was kind of one of those nerds in school that would get awards and that kind of thing. And I kind of always did it, but never really thought of it as something serious. And then after putting the website together for a while and just, you know, having different friends and partners at the time in my life that were like, you know, like you should be, you know, you should use this to like share some of that stuff with people because you do so many things and it'd be awesome to, you know. And I guess it kind of pushed me out of my zone there a bit in the sense, and I kind of started sharing some of the stuff on Tumblr and Instagram, things like that, and then started to get a really good positive reaction from it. And that's when I kind of decided, all right, I'm gonna sit down and put this all together. But it actually wasn't, I'd love to say it was like this really painstakingly long process, but it really wasn't for the first one at least, because since I was a teenager, I've always had like just books and books and books of written stuff. Right. So I had a lot of stuff that I could pull from, and it was more a case of just pulling from different things and kind of putting some things together and adding some things in and making things a little bit more cohesive, I guess. So
yeah. And like, would you ever write like a novel or
oh, I would love to write a novel. Yeah. I mean, I'm always like reading about, you know, writing and things like that, and like one of my all-time greatest writers that I just love, of course, is Stephen King. And I've many times go over his audiobook where he wrote a whole book about just writing. Mm-hmm. And I'd love to do it, but it's, yeah, something you've really got to commit to.
Yeah. There's advice that goes, and I'm sure you know this, but for the audience, there's advice that goes, writing a novel is a marathon, not a sprint. So, you know, if you think about it, let's say you're a runner and you run. No, let's say you like to run as exercise. You run maybe an hour every day, right? And then
the
next day you're like, I want to do a marathon. It doesn't work like that. You got to actually train to do the actual marathon, even if you run an hour a day, right? But doing a marathon is, so that's like writing a novel, right? So it's like, you can put out, and you know, for people who don't write, if they want to write a novel, you could put out like small blog posts here and there, but until you actually write like maybe a 100 page novel or 100 page story, then 200 page, then 300 page, you know, eventually you get into that novel territory. And I always found that very fascinating because, you know, I wrote a novel once and I just haven't put it together, but it's not like a full novel in a sense of like I have different characters. I have like five different characters, which is good because you have five different stories, but I couldn't even imagine writing a novel about one character. It's so like the thought process of it is so hard. You have the beginning and the end, but it's that middle part that actually makes you into the writer that you are.
Yeah. 100%, and that's the hardest part. It's like crafting that. That is definitely, yeah, that's what takes the time.
Yeah.
Because you're inventing backstories and histories and all sorts of things for these characters.
I have so many ideas for like story, for like good novels that like I would never write them myself. But if I ever like came upon someone who was a writer, they'd get rich off my ideas for sure. And I would just kind of like, I'll just piggyback off their success and be like, see, I helped you with this idea. But in terms of like novels and all that, what's your favorite book what are your favorite books?
Okay. I'm one of those people that reads far too many books, but I think a book that like I've been obsessed with and always like I picked it up when I was a teenager, and I'm sure if people are of, you know, kind of the 90s generation talking about, there was that song from Nirvana did about Frances Farmer.
Yeah, so she actually wrote a book herself. It was an autobiography, and it was called Will There Really Be a Morning? I think it's one of the most amazing, profound books that I've ever read, and I read it when I was about 12, mm-hmm. and I've read it numerous times since. It's just, there's not many like autobiographies quite like that, and I think it's specifically for a woman as well, I think. It's pretty mind-blowing, and if you've dealt with mental health issues and things like that, it's really mind-blowing. That's something I've read many times. And then I'd have to say, of course, one of the first books I ever read was Stephen King's Pet Sematary. And then another book that I always return to is a book called The Heart is Deceitful Above All Things by J.T. Leroy, who was a famous author, and there was a huge hoax. If you look it up, you'll find it. It was a huge hoax. And the author was outed as not being the, not the person that was portraying the author was not the author, I guess, in person. I really love that book because it resonates with a lot of things that I dealt with growing up, and I was fortunate enough to actually meet and get to know JT, the author, and her side of the story and things like that. And she actually became a really big mentor and supporter in my writing. So,
yeah, a book I suggest you should check out is called The Final Testament of the Holy Bible. It's not what you think. It's by James Frey. Who wrote that book. To give the audience an idea, it's basically a story about Jesus coming to earth in this day and age and doing drugs and all the crazy stuff you could think of. And it's like put together like a Bible. The pages are Bible. The front cover is a Bible. It's probably my favorite book ever.
Well, I have it. I really enjoy his first as well, and I hadn't got a chance to read that one yet, but I've actually spoken quite a few times with James Frey, so and he's a really nice man, so I love that whole idea, and I'm very much obsessed with, I'm not religious in any way, but I'm really obsessed with like doomsday and crazy stories from the Bible, and I love the book of Revelations.
Yeah.
Like, I find anything written or done about those kind of things, whether it's anything fictional, really funny, and I just really enjoy it. It's such a trip of a story.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I met James Frey once in person, and he's like my idol. So imagine.
Yeah, that's awesome.
You can only imagine. I asked him like 23 questions while he was like bowing down on gum just because he was like probably annoyed by me. So, favorite horror movie
of all time?
Yeah.
Ooh. Oh gosh, I am definitely Return because I'm such a completely obsessed. I think one of mine. I'd probably Carrie. Possibly. My level of them is ridiculous, the amount of horror films I've seen. And my father put that into me at a very, very young age. So I've been watching, don't watch them at home, kids, but yeah, I've been watching them since I was at least 8, I think.
Yeah. It shaped you for who you are today, which is cool.
Yeah, they were really great things at the time when I was growing up to do with my father. Like, I loved it. You know, I can vividly remember sneaking behind the couch, first time I ever saw Freddy Krueger, being obsessed with all that kind of stuff and becoming addicted to that, like, adrenaline and spook, kind of thing happens.
It's a great movie is Jason X. Don't hate me.
Everyone's got their thing, everyone's got something that they really, really love. I have all my nerdy things that I'm obsessed with as well. I'm a Lord of the Rings person. I'm a Hobbit person. I'm a Star Wars person. Those films will be, they shaped who I grew up to be. And I watch them religiously still to this day. So,
So last song of the night, what would you like it to be?
Okay, so I think what would be awesome is a band called Thou, who are a bunch of really amazing dudes. And the singer just has this really crazy, cutting, unique voice that's just incredible. And they have been kind of known for doing some really good covers when they play live. And then what they did was they released an album just last year during COVID called Blessings of the Highest Order, which is basically a whole album of them doing Nirvana covers from every album Nirvana ever did. And I think it's probably the best attempt anyone has ever made at doing Nirvana properly. And I kind of feel like Kurt would really dig it. Scentless Apprentice by Thou would be a good one to kick off on.
And is there anything you want to pitch to the audience? Any last advice? Anything at all?
I guess I think everyone just needs to keep doing what they're doing, and no matter how weird, strange you may feel or the things that you do may feel, just keep going at it, because if anything, what I've learned is that there is always an audience for what you do. You might think that you're the only person who likes this particular thing or, feels that way or whatever. And reality is you're not. And it's such a really amazing thing when you can connect with other people, on a wider scale. I never, ever would have thought when I was, 14, 15 years old that anyone would even know who I was, let alone be able to speak to people from all around the world or being interviewed for a Canadian radio station. So that's kind of, it's just do what you want to do. There's no one can kind of hold you back from that and get out there.